The next case this morning is case number 2015-1388, Board of Education of the Huber Heights City Schools versus Montgomery County Board of Revision. For the appellant, Ms. Fox.
Thank you, Your Honor. If it pleases the court, I am Carol Fox here on behalf of the Board of Education today. I would like to reserve 3 minutes of time for rebuttal. Both sides in this case agree that the Board of Tax Appeals properly rejected the reduction that was granted by the Board of Revision, or the value placed on the property by the Board of Revision, because that value could not be replicated. The BTA determined that. Neither side here is arguing that point. The question becomes, what happens next? At that point, the Board of Tax Appeals had two options. They could either revert to the auditor's original value, or they could independently determine value on their own. Excuse me. In this case, it is our contention that the Board of Tax Appeals had to have reverted to the auditor's original value because there was absolutely no evidence in the record on which the Board of Tax Appeals could independently determine value.
What about the sale?
Well, the problem with the sale is the sale was never put forth as a potential value for this property by any party, including the owner. Even the owner admitted that the sale was not recent, and the owner admitted that by the fact that the owner requested an $850,000 value in its complaint, not the sale price of $550,000.
Was the owner's argument that the sale was not recent, or was it that the previous valuation should just be carried forward?
Both, Your Honor. They never came forward advocating for the sale. Quite frankly, they've never advocated for the sale until we got to this court, the level of appeal before this court, after the BTA's decision. Not before the Board of Revision, not before the Board of Tax Appeals did they ever once argue or request the sale price from the 2012 sale. We would contend that they waived that right, and perhaps the collateral estoppel issue that you raised earlier in the previous case applies here, because even in the prior year's case for this property in 2012, they accepted a value of $850,000. That is, in fact, the value that they were trying to get the Board of Revision to carry forward into the 2013 case.
But that was a different parcel, correct?
It was a different parcel. For tax year 2012, yes. It contained this parcel within it. It was a larger parcel. So that parcel for 2012 was approximately 13 acres. This parcel that we're talking about today is a little over 11, so they basically had split out 1.5 acres from the 2012 parcel as part of the sale that occurred during the middle of 2012 for the $550,000 value. So the property did change. However, that sale was taken into consideration in the 2012 case. It certainly was evidence that the board could have considered in that case, because that the filing for the 2012 tax year wouldn't have taken place until 2013, and the hearing would have been in 2013, well after the sale. Nonetheless, in this case, they never once advocated for it. They asked for a value that was roughly based upon the sale price plus the cost of the improvements, which were an additional 46% of the value that they paid. They admitted that the property had been significantly and substantially changed in between the sale date and the tax lien date.
Irrespective of what they advocated for, does the BTA not have an independent duty to independently determine the value, irrespective of what the parties are advocating?
They have a duty to independently determine the value based upon reliable and credible evidence. The question in this case becomes, if even the property owner has agreed that there have been significant changes to the property so that it is not asking for the $550,000 sale price, then how can the BTA ignore that? How can the BTA make a finding on its own that the sale is recent? Nobody argued that the sale was recent in this case. everybody conceded that there were significant changes to the property, that therefore, at a minimum, by the owner's argument, the additional dollar-for-dollar increase in improvement value should be added to the sale price.
But I think the way I understood the BTA's decision was that there wasn't necessarily any evidence that the expenditures that were made on the property actually improved the value of the real estate. Is that what's your response to that?
My response is you're right. We don't know. And what it comes down to is whose burden was this initially? And the answer is it was the owner's burden. So that's the problem that we have, is the owner had the burden of coming forward and proving what the value of this property was. They never once said it should be the sale price. They said it should be the sale, and it should be the sale. I'm sorry. They did not say it should be the sale price. They said it should be $850,000 based upon the previous year's valuation that was set. When asked, what was that based on? Their response was roughly the improvements and the purchase price. But we would agree that this court has found a dollar for dollar, I guess, cost approach added to a sale is not a correct value. And for that reason, that is why the auditor's original value has to be reinstated. There was no credible evidence as to what the value of this property was on the tax lien date. You cannot just simply look to the sale as the Board of Tax Appeals did, because the property changed. There was a significant change in between the sale date and the tax lien date. So if the sale cannot be relied upon, you have to look to other evidence. There was no other evidence presented other than the evidence of the prior year's valuation. Because the prior year's valuation could not be carried forward properly or legally, there was nothing for the Board of Tax Appeals to independently value this property. I would also like to point out that this case was decided a while ago, before this court issued its recent decision in Terraza. The language of the statute, changing from shall to may, needs to be considered here. When the Board of Tax Appeals decided this case, it was applying the old law under the old statute under Berea and its progeny. The Board of Tax Appeals was taking any case and any sale in any case, and it felt like it was obligated to apply that sale as the best evidence of value. We would contend that that is not the case.
Would you agree that even under Terraza, currently, the sale is still the best evidence of value?
It's not conclusive. And the Board of Revision considered this sale. And the notes in the Board of Revision transcript indicate that they did not find the sale to be recent because of the changes that were made to the property.
My question would be then, what evidence did the school board offer to rebut the evidence of the sale?
And we find that is what the flaw is with the Board of Tax Appeals decision. We were put in the position by the Board of Tax Appeals of being the opponent of a sale that nobody was the proponent of. In order for that burden to come upon us, somebody had to come forward and say the sale is the best evidence of value. The owner never once argued that. So we did not defend that position because it was never a claim that was made. There has to be a proponent of the sale before there can be a burden on the opponent. And in this case, that did not exist. If the owner had come forward either at the Board of Revision or at the Board of Tax Appeals and even once said, this arm's length sale is what we're asking for, here's the evidence, here's somebody to talk about it, that didn't happen here. There's a lot of information in the record, or in the briefs rather, with regard to what's in the record. Apparently a settlement statement was mailed into the Board of Revision, but it was not presented at the Board of Revision hearing. It was not made available to counsel for the Board of Education. We had no way of knowing that that was even in the record.
Was it transmitted to the BTA?
My understanding is that it was.
So then was anything precluding the board at that point from seeing it in the record?
There was not. However, it still was not offered and accepted as evidence. It was submitted as something that had been mailed into the Board of Revision. We contend that that is not sufficient. So regardless, even if it is considered to be evidence of the sale, It's a settlement statement. There was no deed. There was no conveyance fee statement. There was no testimony from the witness about the arm's length nature of the sale, how it was listed, if it was listed, whether it was negotiated. None of those facts are before this board, or I'm sorry, before this court. None of those facts were before the board. None of those facts were before the BTA because that was never a position taken by the property owner. They conceded that the sale price was not the best evidence of value by never requesting it, by never advocating for it. The complaint didn't ask for it. They didn't ask for it at the BOR hearing. They didn't ask for it in the BTA hearing. Nothing in their BTA brief even mentioned the fact that this should be the best evidence of value.
Does the board acknowledge that the sale occurred, though?
We acknowledge that the sale occurred, but is that really sufficient under the May version of the statute?
So the board is acknowledging that the sale occurred, that it, in the basic terms of the sale, that it occurred, the date that it occurred, and the price of the sale? That's not something that you're disputing?
It's not something that was brought to issue or an issue that was raised or disputed or contested because the sale was never brought forth as the position of the owner. So it wasn't even something that was really litigated.
So is your argument now that the property owner did not sufficiently prove a sale that you concede took place?
The property owner did not sufficiently prove that there was a recent arm's length sale. The fact that the property transferred and the fact that an amount of money was paid for it may be in the record, but that's not sufficient. It has to be proven that the sale was arm's length and that the sale was recent. Neither of those things were proven here because the sale was never discussed. And the recency of it was disproved by the fact that they spent 46% of the purchase price improving the property in between the sale date and the lien date, and the Board of Revisions appraisers recognized that that's a significant change to the property rendered the sale not recent, not valid for 1113. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Baker?
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Sarah Baker, and I represent one of the appellees in this matter, the property owner, Huber Heights ABG. In response to counsel's argument, Your Honor, there is no testimony in the record that our client admitted the sale wasn't recent. He never admitted that the sale wasn't recent, and he never admitted that the $200,000 in changes to the property increased the value of the property. And that's a really important distinction for this case. There's no law cited by counsel that suggests changes to property in and of themselves rebut a sale price. It's a change in the value of the property that matters. And there's no evidence in the record that suggests that the changes to the property, outfitting the property for a particular tenant, increase the value of the property. The Board of Education has argued that there are no facts, no evidence in the record. But for the sake of clarification, it's important to point out that there are facts in the record. Matt Rentschler, a representative of Huber Heights ABG, who attended the Board of Revision hearing on his own without counsel, testified multiple times during the hearing about how Huber Heights ABG purchased the property in June of 2012 for $550,000. That can be found in the audio recording at minute 315, 520, and 752. Counsel for the Board of Education even asked him, they had counsel at that hearing, counsel for the Board of Education even asked my client about the sale price, that's at 520 in the record, and failed to in any way contest the sale price or the arm's length nature of the transaction. Furthermore, the settlement statement from the purchase is in the record. It can be found on the BTA docket It was transmitted from the BOR and was in the docket, in the record, when the Board of Education filed a waiver, not only waiving its hearing, right to a hearing, but specifically consenting to resting on the existing record at the time. That document was in the record at the time, and they consented to resting on it. Whether or not it was properly entered into evidence at the Board of Revision hearing is irrelevant. I don't know, Your Honor. I wasn't there. But it's completely irrelevant because they consented to resting on it, and now they want to argue to this court that the BTA somehow erred in relying on a document that it consented to resting on. If they had raised that argument at the BTA level, the BTA would have addressed the argument, and they would have found that it was harmless error anyways, because there is evidence in the record regarding the sale price and regarding the sale. And so whether this document is in evidence or not in evidence, consideration of it would be harmless error anyways. The standard here, the standard of review is high. The Board of Education must prove that the BTA made more than an error of law or judgment. It needs to prove that the BTA abused its discretion in finding that a sale only 6 months prior to the tax lien date was a sufficiently recent arm's length transaction. Ohio law is clear that the only way a party can show that the sale price is not representative of value is to show that it wasn't recent or it wasn't an arm's length transaction. Since the Board of Education failed to set forth any evidence regarding the sale, the BTA properly found that the testified to price, sale price, was indicative of the value. The question that they have submitted before this court is whether the BTA's attitude was unreasonable, arbitrary, or unconscionable in determining that there was no evidence to suggest the changes to the property increased the value of the property, thereby rebutting the sale price as indicative of the value.
Whose burden was that? I think counsel has suggested that it was your client's burden to demonstrate that it was recent. What's your response to that?
Your Honor, we set forth evidence in the record about the sale price and about the... And the settlement statement is in the record, and it's presumed when those documents are in the record to be a recent arm's length transaction. At that point, once that is in the record, the BTA has used its independent determination. They're not bound by the arguments of my client. They're not bound by the previous year's valuation, although it is notable that in the 2012 case, our client did advocate for the $550,000 sale price, and the parties ended up coming to an agreement that a settlement that is not binding on going forward, that the price would be $850,000. That's the price, or that's the value that they ended up arguing for in the 2013 hearing. But the BTA is not bound by the arguments of counsel. They have an independent duty to determine the true value of the fee simple estate, unencumbered fee simple estate. And that's exactly what they did. They looked at the evidence that was in the record. They saw a recent arm's length transaction that was unrebutted. And even in Terraza, the latest case, the supplemental authority that was submitted by counsel, this court has continued to hold that a sale price is the best evidence of value. As far as the reasonableness of the BTA's decision that the changes to the property, or that there was no evidence that the changes to the property increased the value of the property, it's not only reasonable, but the law specifically condones reliance on an unrebutted recent arm's length sale of the property. It's important to note that the BTA did not treat the sale price as irrefutable or unrebuttable. Counsel would have you believe that the BTA was treating all of these cases under the old law, but that's not true at all. There's nothing in the BTA's decision that would suggest it was relying on the previous statute, and there's nothing in the BTA's decision that suggests that they treated the sale price as unrebuttable or irrefutable. In fact, the BTA weighed the evidence. They considered the changes. They even acknowledged that those changes were considerable. They specifically stated on pages 11, well, they're labeled as pages 11 and 12 of the decision, but it's really pages 4 and 5 of their decision, that the record further shows that following the sale, approximately $200,000 in repairs were made to prepare the subject for the new occupant. Nothing was provided to show that any of the expenditures provided more than cosmetic updates or additional fixtures for the occupant's use. Taking into consideration all of the facts and noting that dollar-for-dollar deductions for repairs have consistently been rejected by this board following the Ohio Supreme Court holdings in Throckmorton and Hotel Statler, we find that although the cost of repairs was considerable as compared to the sale price, no evidence has been offered to show that the changes substantially changed the property. As such, we find that the property did not undergo such considerable improvement to render the sale remote from the tax lien date. It's clear that they considered that evidence. They simply weighed it and rejected it as insufficient to rebut the sale price. The simple fact that money was spent on a property does not mean it increased in value. And Mr. Rentschler never testified that the property was in a substantially different state or that it increased in value as a result of the changes. He merely testified that $200,000 in changes were made. Property owners often spend money outfitting properties to secure specific tenants, but that does not necessarily mean the property values increase. In fact, it could be argued that certain modifications to properties could decrease the value of the property. Accordingly, in order to rebut the presumption that the recent arm's length transaction was indicative of the true value in money of the property, the evidence must have demonstrated that the changes affected the value in some way, and that was not present in this case. Since that was not present, since there was no evidence to rebut the sale price, the BTA properly determined that the sale price was indicative of value. And as it relates to reasonableness, the BTA's decision and order finding that that didn't affect the value of the property is certainly more reasonable than the Board of Education's position that the BTA should have reverted to the auditor's value that is quadruple the price that my client paid for the property without any evidence whatsoever. Consistent with its mandate, the BTA considered all of the evidence, weighed it, and made a reasoned decision that the sale price of $550,000 was sufficiently recent to the tax lien date and thus was the best evidence of true value in money of the unencumbered property. The BTA's determination that testimony regarding changes to the property did not rebut the sale was a factual determination that was left to their discretion. The Board of Education attempts to improperly shift the burden by arguing that the changes Matt Rentschler testified to rebutted the sale price as a matter of law, and the burden somehow shifted to Huber Heights ABG.
How would you summarize your point that your client met its burden?
Your Honor, my client met its burden by testifying that there was a recent sale of the property, that they purchased the property in June of 2012, just 6 months prior to the tax lien date, for $550,000, and submitted a settlement statement showing the terms of the sale. That evidence is competent, it's credible, it's probative, it's the type of evidence that almost anyone would submit to evidence a sale in this type of a case. And the fact that my client didn't argue for that, primarily because they didn't get the benefit of that argument the prior year, is irrelevant. The BTA has an independent duty to make that determination, and it did so, and it did so properly by looking at the evidence in the record that the Board of Education instructed them and consented to resting on. As a result, Your Honor, we would request that this court affirm the BTA's decision.
Thank you. Ms. Fox, you have saved about 3.5 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
It was mentioned that the witness was at the Board of Revision hearing without counsel. It was not mentioned that the witness was, in fact, an attorney and in-house counsel for the property owner. So the fact that he was not there being represented by an additional attorney should in no way affect the fact that he was certainly competent enough to raise the argument, if he intended to, that the arm's length sale, if it was an arm's length sale, was what they were relying upon. He did not set forth that argument. He set forth the argument that the previous value of $850,000 should be carried forward into tax year 2013 from 2012. He never once advocated for the sale. He never once even claimed it was an arm's length sale. When asked if it, you know, about the sale, he simply mentioned when it happened, what the price was, that was part of the basis of their requested value, but it was not their entire requested value. By that, they conceded, they admitted this was not a recent sale, that other factors had to be taken into consideration beyond the basic sale price.
Explain to me exactly how that's a concession about the recency issue.
Because the owners themselves have conceded that the improvements added to the property after the sale price affected the value. If they didn't believe that, they would have asked for the value of the sale price. By the fact that they asked for a higher value, they admitted on the face of their complaint and in all of their written argument and, quite frankly, in their testimony, that the sale price did not represent the fair market value of this property as of January 1st, 2013. It was a concession. It was an admission against interest, if you will.
So are you essentially saying it's an implicit concession? I mean, is there anything explicit in the record saying we concede that this is not a recent sale?
It's explicit in that the value they requested on their complaint was $850,000.
But then we would have to infer then from that that they're conceding that it's not recent? Is that what you're arguing?
I suppose. I find it to be explicit. The fact that they did not request the sale price, they requested some other value, a higher value, to me, is an explicit admission that the sale price was not the best evidence of value.
I want to, before your time expires, I want to ask, counsel said that, has argued that this court must review the BTA's decision regarding recency for abuse of discretion. Do you agree with that?
I do, and I believe they abused their discretion by turning to a sale that both parties at that point and every step of the way had been in agreement did not represent the best evidence of value. They turned to evidence that nobody advocated for, that nobody set forth was the evidence of value. And then it becomes a burden of proof issue with respect to the improvements. 46% additional money spent on this property beyond the sale price. Whose burden should it be? I mean, that was proven. That was never disputed. At that point, whose burden should it be to prove whether or not those significant or considerable improvements, as determined by the Board of Tax Appeals, whether they affected the value? The owner is the only one who has the ability to provide specific information as to what was spent on, I'm sorry, as to how that money was spent, what improvements were made. The Board of Education certainly didn't have access to that information. So it becomes, the burden. Whose burden should that be? Once we know, well, $250,000, according to the complaint, was spent on this property, at that point, why should the burden not be on the owner to show how that money was spent?
But why would it be does on not the Board this court's case law say that when the when there's basic evidence of a sale that it is presumed to be arm's length and recent?
If there's a deed and conveyance fee statement presented, which were not presented in this case, that is true. We would say that we rebutted that evidence by establishing that significant amount of money was spent in between the sale date and the lien date, that the recency of the sale was rebutted by that undisputed evidence of the significant improvements. So then I guess the next question comes, at that point, once the recency has been rebutted, who carries the burden of showing that those significant dollars did or did not affect the value of the property?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
This case will be submitted and you will be advised of the court's decision. We'll now take a brief recess.